It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. CattleCon 24 in Orlando, Florida. It's kind of sunny and kind of warm, and ran into a guy who knows all about sunny and warm weather, especially back home in Montana, Kurt Donsbach with StoneX. A little warmer here?
Actually, when I left, it was about 2 degrees warmer is all. Oh. We're not going to talk about the 50 below zero, but as of arrival, it was 2 degrees warmer in Orlando than Montana. I am going home to snow, though, so.
Well, there you go. Now, StoneX actually located in Chicago, and it surprisingly hasn't been miserable weather in Chicago yet, but I guess that could be coming as well.
Right? Usually about a week after we get into Montana, it's headed that way.
Okay, so Kurt, really involved in the cattle side of the business, and tell us a little about StoneX and what StoneX does.
We're a futures broker merchant that help people hedge any product you want. I focus primarily on cattle, little grain, little corn.
Okay, and when we talk about cattle, I mean, that's not just something you're familiar with. You're actually involved in it.
I'm living it. Got a cow-calf operation, dead center of Montana almost. I don't calve till about April, so I got a little ways to go. Exciting news on that front. I just got a phone call today. Cattle broker there just forward contracted fall delivery calves, 6.5 weights for $295.
Wow. Now, I saw something from Cattle Facts earlier with the possibility of 300 coming potentially down the road. So let's talk some rough ideas here. I mean, we had cattle on feed report. Would you say in general that report bearish or bullish?
I call the cattle on feed, to be specific, it would be neutral, fell in line with expectations. Everybody knows we got a little slug of cattle right in front of us here we got to work through. As we get through that, then the number should start to decline and we'll get more bullish, specifically with the cash prices to the packer as we go out in time.
Okay. The importance of using markets, especially because as we move to higher prices, we obviously can see a lot more volatility in a market. What's the importance of having some plans in place?
I would say it's critical, and I think we all got reminded just a few months ago when the feeder market and the calf market lost $50 in about 2 months. We're all feeling quite good. I think everybody's generally bullish in the cattle market. But just last October, it reminded us how quick and how far it can change.
Producers here at CattleCon 24, you've had an opportunity to visit with producers pretty much coast to coast and border to border. What are some of the things that you're hearing from them? I mean, obviously, there's probably a general consensus, but are you hearing things kind of on the fringes? Very optimistic, very pessimistic? What are you hearing?
From the calf side, very, very optimistic. Obviously, that matches up not only with the futures board and what the futures board is doing, but also cash prices for these lighter calves in the sale barns presently. Obviously, as you're moving into the feeder sector, it's a little more of a struggle. Definitely hearing some pretty heavy losses on stuff that's killing right now. So we definitely, as an industry, we need to see that improve. We need to see the feeder making some money. We need to see boxes continue to rally so that it can justify those heavy live prices.
Okay, so there's been some concern here of the possibility of maybe demand destruction as we move into well, the high prices we're in right now. Are we really seeing the demand destruction, or are we just seeing really more demand for that limited amount of supply that we have? Does that make sense?
I'd say that's a $1 million question. Obviously, boxes went sub $3 not very long ago. They struggled mightily to get back above $3. The weather storm that hurt production, you know, Kansas and et cetera, helped boxes get back above $3. That's feeling pretty good right now. But boxes legitimately struggled for several months there.
As we look into 2024, the idea of a weather pattern change, we move from El Nino to La Nina and back and forth. And obviously we've had some drought situations kind of moving around.
You
probably had it in your backyard as well along the way. But as we start looking 24, 25, could herd rebuilding start? Or what are you hearing?
I think the answer to that is profitability. The cattle inventory report just came out Wednesday, I believe, and I was fairly comfortable we were not going to see any herd building because of profitability in the cow-calf sector. We had good profit. We had good income, low profits. A lot of it was due to the hay cost to get us through the heavy winter, of, like up north in May. So these huge calf checks, and it all went back to the bank. This year is looking different. Hay crop is good. Costs are down, and we may be getting the really high prices. If we drive profitability in the cow-calf sector very high, I would expect herd rebuilding. Now, if something changes and we don't have profitable, we have high prices, and again, no profit, then I would not expect herd building to start.
Okay. One of the other things that we've been watching in feedlots now for the last 3 or 4 years, I think it's commonly referred to as beef on dairy. As you just kind of look at where we are, is that anything that kind of pops up on your radar as well?
Oh, it absolutely pops up. Absolutely. It's a very real thing. The dairy is definitely getting their herd better genomically. They're raising heavier animals that are killing better, grading better. I'm not overly concerned about it. I may be in the minority. As long as the price of milk is driving the herd size, I think we're talking about increasing the weight of the animal more than increasing animals per se. And so as long as the price of milk is driving the size of the herd, I'm not overly worried about that.
As we kind of wrap up here and kind of put a bow, if you will, on CattleCon 24, as you start looking forward down the road, we've talked about some 24, 25 herd rebuilding and whatnot, but as you look forward, what are some things that you're starting to see on your radar, just some things that Kurt is either excited about or concerned about? What are you going to be watching?
Well, it's our very immediate future. We broke through 270 August feeders. 283 is an all-time high. What are you going to do if we scratch those all-time highs again, and that could happen within a week or less? So very near future, what are you going to do if we match all-time highs again?
Okay. We want to learn more about StoneX and what's happening with StoneX. And Kurt, can we find it online?
Absolutely. Google StoneX.com, and there's a whole bunch online. And you could throw my name behind it, and you'll get me specifically.
Okay. Kurt Donsbach is with StoneX. We're at the CattleCon 24 in Orlando, Florida. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.